When Donald Trump boasted he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue without losing voters, he wasn't just displaying his trademark bombast. He was revealing the culmination of a decades-long Republican strategy to reshape American governance. John Dean's Broken Government delivers a scathing indictment of how modern Republican rule systematically dismantled the machinery of effective government. What makes Dean's analysis particularly compelling is his insider perspective, a lifelong Republican who served as Nixon's White House counsel before becoming a whistleblower. His journey from Nixon loyalist to constitutional defender mirrors America's own political evolution since Watergate, from constitutional crisis to the methodical erosion of governmental norms. Nobody cares about process issues. This dismissive refrain echoes through political campaigns and media coverage, yet research tells a completely different story. Political scientists John Hibbing and Elizabeth Theis Morse discovered that for many Americans, process matters more than policy. Through extensive nationwide interviews, they found that while citizens may struggle with policy complexities, they judge institutions primarily by how key processes are carried out. Among politically engaged Americans, roughly 14% view politics primarily through a process lens, representing approximately 20 million voters across party lines. The media's reluctance to cover process stems partly from journalistic guidelines advising against tactical reporting. Yet, ironically, studies show that process remains the mainstay of political reporting, just not the kind that matters. Coverage focuses on partisan conflicts and political maneuvering, while deeper institutional breakdowns receive little attention. This blind spot extends to political campaigns. In 2004, the Democratic Party platform completely omitted process matters for the first time ever, giving Bush a pass on concerning behaviors like excessive secrecy. When questioned, Democrats consistently responded that secrecy is a process issue that interests no voters. A fundamental misreading of public concern. Modern Republicans excel at winning elections, but struggle with governance, a natural outcome of conservatism's anti-government stance and Reagan's declaration that government is the problem. This creates a fundamental contradiction. Conservatives ideologically want smaller government, but expand it for political gain, resulting in a larger yet less effective state. Unlike liberals who see government as a tool for public good, conservatives view it primarily as a burden to minimize. When controlling institutions they fundamentally distrust, they focus on dismantling rather than improving them. This paradox became clear during Republican congressional control, 1997 to 2007, when Congress abandoned oversight, accepted executive secrecy, overlooked Iraq war deceptions, supported controversial torture policies, and deepened partisan divides. The dysfunction spread to regulatory agencies, where political appointees undermined their organization's missions. The EPA reduced environmental enforcement, the SEC softened financial oversight, and FEMA's emergency response capabilities deteriorated, notably during Hurricane Katrina. This institutional sabotage became self-fulfilling. Government indeed grew less effective, but through deliberate actions to make it so. Newt Gingrich's transformation of congressional culture undermined traditional bipartisanship by encouraging members to keep families in home districts rather than Washington. Without regular cross-party socializing, civility eroded and debate devolved into partisan attacks. This social isolation created echo chambers where extreme positions flourished unchallenged. The Republican-controlled Congress minimized substantive work while maximizing partisan impact. They passed massive omnibus bills with minimal scrutiny just before deadlines. The 2006 congressional calendar contained just 97 working days, the lowest in 60 years, while major legislation received superficial review. Committee work, traditionally central to legislative deliberation, declined sharply. Republicans normalized closed rules in the House, limiting debate and blocking amendments from Democrats. They routinely extended the 15-minute voting rule for hours to pressure holdouts. Most critically, they abandoned oversight responsibilities. While Clinton faced over 1,000 congressional subpoenas and investigations reviewing more than 2 million documents, the Republican Congress issued zero subpoenas to the Bush White House. Dick Cheney entered the White House with extensive policy experience, complimenting a president who showed little interest in policy details. Cheney's distrust of Congress stemmed from the Ford administration when he witnessed post-Watergate restrictions on presidential power. While most Americans welcomed these restored checks and balances, Cheney saw Watergate merely as a power struggle between branches of government. As Secretary of Defense under George H.W. Bush, Cheney championed unlimited presidential authority. During the Kuwait crisis in 1990, he insisted the president could wage war without congressional approval, telling Senator Edward Kennedy that presidential military action required no additional authorization. Cheney later persuaded Bush to expand presidential power even further through the unitary executive theory. What began as a modest concept evolved into a radical doctrine claiming the president had complete control over the executive branch, unrestricted authority in national security, and immunity from congressional or judicial oversight, directly challenging constitutional checks and balances. Nixon transformed judicial selection by campaigning on appointing strict constructionist judges to counter the Warren Court's perceived activism. Reagan expanded this approach, weaponizing Supreme Court nominations in his 1980 campaign and implementing rigorous ideological screening for judicial candidates through partnerships with conservative organizations like the Federalist Society. The 1987 Bork nomination marked a turning point. His confirmation hearings revealed credibility issues through multiple equivocations and confirmation conversions, leading to his defeat, though his originalist philosophy continues influencing fundamentalist judges. Both Bush presidencies advanced the rightward push, notably with Clarence Thomas's confirmation, despite serious concerns about sexual harassment allegations and limited judicial experience. This conservative court project has reshaped the federal judiciary and politicized the confirmation process. A fundamentalist Supreme Court majority could transform American law by weakening workplace protections, equal rights, and regulatory oversight, while undermining public institutions, potentially reversing decades of progressive legislation since the New Deal era. The breakdowns in our three branches of government don't require radical reforms or constitutional amendments. They simply need to operate as originally intended. The solution isn't complex new systems, but rather returning to time-tested principles of checks and balances. Since Democrats took charge of Congress in 2007, they implemented significant reforms to return the legislative branch to traditional standards and procedures. They banned lobbyist gifts exceeding $100, restricted corporate-funded travel, prohibited holding votes open to manipulate outcomes, and implemented strict pay-as-you-go fiscal responsibility rules. Most importantly, Congress resumed its vital constitutional oversight role through regular hearings, investigations, and demands for executive branch accountability. The restoration of proper constitutional balance requires returning to core principles: robust congressional oversight, contained executive power, and an independent, intellectually diverse judiciary. When the framers met in Philadelphia in 1787, they created a system of separated powers with checks and balances that has served America well for over two centuries. But this system was never designed to withstand a political party's ideology systematically eliminating those separations. The health of our democracy depends on restoring proper governmental processes, the invisible machinery that makes representative government work. Without this restoration, we risk replacing our constitutional republic with what Republicans euphemistically call unilateralism and unitary executive theory, but which in reality amounts to autocratic presidentialism, the very system our founders sought to prevent.